What's funny, I saw that gif of from Old Boy from The Wire when he's like, oh, but the caption, the caption said, oh, when Nate Robinson saw Ocho Cinco get back up.
Now listening to the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Here are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
Episode 48 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, joined by my best friend, co-host, ace, my guy, Dane Beasley. How you doing, bro?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Really great day. Shout out to my boy, Ken Thorpe, man. Like, I had to say that because I had to take a little, you know, you don't plan to go to the store sometimes. Sometimes it just happens. Like this morning, I made a bowl of cereal and I, you know, I'm on the lactose free milk. So I poured some of the milk and it barely was enough to cover about two or three spoonfuls. So I ain't had no milk. So
I ran to the store. Put some water on that damn.
Look. And the worst thing about it is I thought back to the last time I put water in my cereals back in college. Like there's a particular brand, an off-brand of cereal you get from HEB in Huntsville that you could literally eat with water. You know, you didn't need any milk. And I reverted back to like, man, I'm just going to drink some water. I'm just going to eat some water. I was like, nah, I don't do this. You're past that.
That's the college old, like, struggle days, bro.
Straight up.
When them used to eat, when we, I ain't going to say you because I was there too, eating ramen for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
And I didn't start.
I know y'all can relate to y'all. Everybody listening.
I hated ramen so much. And I was like eating it and crying at the same time. Not because I, you know, would want to eat something else, but just because how disgusting it was. And well, yeah, I guess it was because I wanted to eat something else. Anyways, made an impromptu trip to Walmart to grab a few things. The top of the list being two cartons of lactose free milk. And as I was in Walmart, I threw in that Ken tea. And man, it's just a beautiful body of hometown work. Track after track after track. And it's like, it made me just appreciate where I come from, you know, and the people, the creativity that flows throughout each and every hood in Killeen. So
yeah,
just want to say shout out to Ken. You're doing great things lyrically. And it's gonna pay off, obviously. So
yes, shout out to Ken T. Yeah, friend of ours, friend of the show, Ken T. His new project, Seeds. I am going to put that in the description, Dane. That's a perfect segue. I'm gonna throw that in the description of this episode. Yeah. Ken T's project Seeds dropped about a week and a half or so ago, and it's fire, man. I immediately had to pass the word on to Dane.
Not saying that just because it's from Killeen and we're from Killeen, but it's a breath of fresh air.
Breath of fresh air, and like it's relatable and real type stuff. Like if you actually listen to his lyrics and what he's saying, it's like uplifting, inspiring. I've told him already. Yeah, most definitely. I've told him to his. Well, not face. I haven't seen him face to face, but you know, through text message, like how much I enjoyed this project. And Dan, you saying the same thing that I felt about it as well. So yeah, man. Ken T, our guy Ken, Seeds, his project just dropped a few weeks ago, and I will put that in the description, man. So we are at episode 48. Dan, I know like we've always liked to associate the episode number with a sports athlete. I couldn't think of a legit 48 in sports. Can you?
Not in sports, but specifically, what about Super Bowl 48? Who was Super Bowl 48? Can't remember. Let me see.
Google
Super Bowl
it.
48. Oh yeah, you should remember this. Y'all got your ass whooped tonight.
Okay, on to the next. Well, that's why I hate this number. That's why it's not relevant.
Oh, it is relevant. In fact, the score was 43-8. So the 4 and the 8 together is Super Bowl 48. Oh man, this is perfect. Okay.
Anyway,
in your free time, just go ahead and look up what's so significant about Super Bowl 48.
No, and you don't want to do that.
That might be a representative of that team here.
You don't want to do that. You
Here's
don't
want to. I told you. The Cowboys ain't been to the Super Bowl since the 90s. So
I told you.
It ain't me.
Did I ever tell you about that experience of me where I was watching that game at?
Nah, but I bet you knew exactly what the tone of that game was going to be once Demaryius Thomas caught that drag route.
Well, the opening kickoff, he got smacked. I can't remember who returned it. But anyway, I was at a Super Bowl party. And, you know, it was Holiday, Trenton Holiday.
Okay.
Yeah. I was at a Super Bowl party, and I just remember at halftime, dude, I was just like, you know, people are like, what's wrong with your Broncos, bro? Like, I don't know. You tell me what's wrong. You watching the game just like I am.
It's the same thing that happened to Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl just a few months ago. As long as you have an elite defense, it don't matter what kind of offense you're playing, you're going to have a field day with them. As the good saying goes, Deontay, offense sells defense. Tickets.
Oh, okay.
Oh, go ahead, man.
Defense wins championships. Yeah, we got a nice little show pack for you guys today. What are we talking about today, Dane? There's a lot of sports news that happened, right? Well,
I guess kind to of. Kick it off. Yeah, definitely. We speculated about. Look, we had some inside information about the trade. What's a good word? A good adjective I could throw in there. Correction. A good adverb noun I could throw in there. The best receiver of our generation, Julio Jones, was traded.
I wouldn't argue that.
I know. I was like, it's Megatron too, but Megatron isn't playing anymore. So it's like, you know, say what you want to say. Even me, 2015, 2016, Dane, I would be telling myself, shut the hell up right now. Because I'd be like, no, this brand's better because he has more touchdowns. Boy, shut your goofy ass up. Anyway, Julio Jones, the best wide receiver of our generation. He was traded from Atlanta to Tennessee. Plenty of us knew it was going to happen. We just didn't know where he was going to go. Because that giant contract was not going to sit right, and it wasn't going to help the cap there in Atlanta. So they bit the bullet, and they add a few million dollars worth of that contract. And, of course, the Titans will fit the rest of the bill. But he's worth every single penny. It's just the way basic economics work in the NFL. Just they couldn't afford him.
Yeah.
They couldn't afford him and his talent.
What's so funny – I'm in the group chat with Sean, Kadeem, and all of his friends, right? Uh-huh. And Ahmad, you know, Ahmad is a downhard Atlanta Falcons fan.
And make all them blockbuster trades and Madden exactly. And put all them extra dudes on his team. And right, like, come on, bro, right. You can't be doing
but,
it.
But, listen, the funny part is, I want to say it was this previous Madden before 21. So Madden 20, when I was in the franchise with him, you make all these crazy moves, trading, yep. You know, getting all these big contracts. And there came a point in the game where he didn't have enough salary to sign the players. And, like, he was with the Falcons. It was so funny. And, like, it got to a point where in the game it told him, like, bro, you just got to quit, like, because your salary, like, it's exceeding. Like, so this is basically a scenario that happened to the Falcons.
He had too many penalties. It'll make yes, you retire if you have too many penalties.
Exactly. That's what happened to him. And so we made the joke, like, this is the same thing that happened with the Falcons. Like, they did not have enough money to make Julio comfortable. And he didn't even want to, you know, he wants to compete. He said he wanted to compete for a champion or a team that, you know, can contend for a championship. With Tennessee.
Better defense. Way better
their
defense.
Their defense is top tier. We've seen, like, the last few years or so, Ryan Tannehill is not the same Ryan Tannehill he was with the Miami Dolphins. He's taking big strides.
Coaching
matters, and freaking having a 2,000-yard back in the backfield with you helps a lot, too. So
you're saying the chicken came before the egg is what you're telling me?
Say that again?
So you're saying the chicken came before the egg is what you're telling me?
As far as Derrick Henry being the factor for Ryan Tannehill?
Or what makes the offense go? Is it the pass game or the run game?
Run game for sure.
Oh, interesting.
What do you say?
Oh, no, I didn't say anything.
Okay.
I just think the EPA statistic that I believe ESPN developed determined that Ryan Tannehill is one of the top, I believe, five or top 10 quarterbacks in terms of EPA. Look it up. I'm not going to go through the detailed case study of what it is, or a detailed encyclopedia definition of what it is. But it's a pretty interesting stat to determine efficiency for quarterbacks. It's in so many words, efficiencies for quarterbacks at the top of the list. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, obviously Ryan Tannehill, and a few other quarterbacks, but he's up the top there. And it's, people can make the argument that it's the passing game or the quarterbacks that helps develop that, you know, efficient run game. Mm-hmm. And of course, on the other hand, you have people that say the running game, it helps the passing game. So I don't know what side to lean on. I don't want to be on the wrong side of it, but all I know is that the Titans offense is, they were dominant last year. And if they just got one of the best receivers in the league on their team opposite of AJ Brown, it's going to be even more dominant. So I was just going to start something with you though.
No, you're going into my next question for you.
Oh, really?
But first,
it's time for General Homeboy.
I almost forgot to hit the General Homeboy, man.
Man.
Question for you.
Oh, okay.
With the addition of Julio Jones to the Titans offense, it's a two-part question.
Okay.
First part, does that make the Julio AJ Brown tandem the best wide receiver duo in the league? And two, where does that take the Titans as far as the AFC contenders? Are they, does this send them above Kansas City and Baltimore, or are they sitting right below them and Buffalo, all those? Where do you see the Titans in that AFC power rankings?
Definitely in the top three or four for me. Of course, the rankings that we have, the unofficial rankings that we're making right now, they're not going to hold any kind of weight once, you know, once the preseason starts. But if we're just, you know, talking to be talking, I'm going to talk. So what I'm going to say is, I'd say they're, without Julio catching a single pass in a Titans uniform, they're probably somewhere around that. Somewhere in that 1-5 range of wide receiver duos in the league. But that's about it on paper. Because we don't know what the style of their offense is going to, it's not going to be through the air. We know it's going to come through the ground, through their workhorse, Derrick Henry, probably one of the best three down backs that we have in the league right now. So AJ's one thing, if you're a fantasy drafter, AJ's going to eat, because Julio is going to open up those disgusting matchups with AJ and the number two or three cornerback. But I'd say probably the second or third. Number one or two, you'd have to go, or me personally, if I'm not looking at any teams right now, what their depth chart looks like, I'm going DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald. And I know people say, well, Larry Fitzgerald's like 85 years old. Oh, yes, I know, but just hear me out. Larry, and this is no particular order. Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, TJ Lockett and DK Metcalf, or TJ Lockett, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And I'd put Julio Jones and AJ Brown in there. You can't leave out Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley. For of course, your Cowboy fans, somebody's going to say Amari Cooper, and you can either insert Michael Gallup or CD Lamb.
There are as you're just listing these tandems and trios, bro, it's some talent, bro, like loaded on the same squad. I didn't even think about that. And not to toot the Broncos horn, but if we could get a quarterback that can put it on the money, bro, Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler. That's the thing.
We didn't even get to see the prime of y'all's offense because of the injuries that took place. And then, of course, the fact that you guys – quote unquote, this is y'all where it's not mine. Y'all don't have a decent or an average quarterback back there, but you know, y'all had Josh Chance. Y'all had Hall of Famers in the last decade at the helm and the shotgun. So I don't want to hear it, Deontay. Anyway,
hey, man.
I'm kidding with you, but that's off the top of my head. Without me digging into it, because I had no idea this was on the schedule. Look, this isn't even in my notes. So I'm a little disgusted.
I threw a curveball on you,
and I wasn't prepared for this. I have to fire my writers now and the producer. Happens to be Deontay, so
that's me.
Fire him somehow. But no, without the top of my now I'm thinking of Adam Thielen and
Justin Jefferson.
Like, it's you can go. We got some exciting dang, these QB1s or these cornerback ones are going to get lit up this year. Yeah, that's gonna be fun as hell, offensive wise.
Right, and going back to the Titans, like I think one thing that's gonna be, I think Derrick Henry has to be like elated,
yeah,
because teams will no longer be like putting like 7-8 in the box. Mm-hmm.
Not that trying to stop Derrick Henry in the first place.
Right, exactly. So you putting that many guys in the box. You leaving Julio 1-on-1, AJ right. Brown 1-on-1.
You got to double somebody.
Right. And if you doubling that leaves a less person, you know what I'm saying, to stop the run. So I'm going to be interested to see how this offense will change with Julio under, you know, out wide opposite AJ Brown. But man, I think if Ryan Tannehill can play at least 3/4 as good as he did last year, this offense can be. They'll be doing well. And as far as like putting them up with the other talent, you still got to rock with KC, in my opinion. They brought back almost everyone on the offensive side of the ball. Lamar Jackson's going to come back strong as always. That defense, you know, if that defense can, you know, keep them in games, that running game that the Baltimore Ravens have, you know, they'll continue to attack Lamar Jackson under the helm as well. Buffalo's going to be interesting because, you know, Josh Allen had a crazy year last year. Nobody expected him to do as well, but you know,
it could be
so easy for him to take a step back. Yeah,
historically speaking, it hasn't been possible for quarterbacks their accuracy to get better or their completion percentages to get better in the way that Josh Allen's has. Like historically speaking, he's been a bad passer of the football in terms of efficiency since high school. And to see him get better is kind of scary because we have no idea what this guy's ceiling is. But shout out to him. I was a Josh Allen doubter a few years ago. So, again, telling that, you know, Dame B from a few years ago, shut your ass up because you know what you're talking about. But,
I know a few episodes ago, I think, when we had Colin on 2 episodes ago, we talked about the undisputed situation with Shannon Sharp. You know, calling Julio. Mm-hmm. Julio was like, I'm out of there, basically. And people were kind of interested. We talked about it this day. Was it staged or not? Did he know he was on live TV?
I thought it was staged.
Yeah. A lot of people did. And Albert Breer came out and said that Julio had no clue he was on TV when he made comments that led to his trade request becoming public. Is that so now that we have this information and say it is true,
out the bag.
Is that more of an indictment on Shannon Sharp for like cold calling Julio and not letting him know he was on?
I wouldn't say it's an indictment against him, but it just comes to show you always want to know or let the other person know that they're on three-way when you call them, just to make sure that they don't say nothing ignorant or say something that they would regret. But I don't think it's an indictment on that. I think if anything, Shannon probably just got caught in the moment, or Shannon was doing exactly what his network appreciated, was getting their name in the headlines
and ratings.
Them buzzing for weeks. So it worked. Is it look, is it ethical? Is it okay? But they got what they wanted. They got it exactly what they wanted. So
the headlines. Yeah. That's interesting because like this situation has never happened with something like this. And Shannon Sharp has been a player, you know, well, now he's an analyst, former player that's so connected to a bunch of athletes. You know, everybody calls him Uncle Shay and all that good stuff. So it'll be interesting to see, like you said, Dane, if players, they probably won't. Like literally take offense to like, of course they'll probably still be cool with
agents
them and stuff
will
like that.
Be like, hey, just you know, yeah. be mindful of what you're doing,
right? And you probably won't see everything. I think it'll be more preface, like be more careful with how you handle yourself in you know public situations and taking calls like that.
Muy interesante.
Yesterday, switching to the good old boxing ring, Dane.
Oh my gosh.
So Nate Robinson got knocked out. How long ago was that?
So maybe
like
3 or 4 months
ago.
3 or 4 months ago. I just
so
know
we're seeing a lot of
on a T-shirt. That's all I know.
With the Logan Pauls, the Jake Pauls, and I've never really been an avid like boxer kind of fan, and I know we have some listeners that actually like watch legit boxing. So Dan and I are not going to be here to break down a boxing match as far as analytical, like you know. Percentages of punches thrown and stuff like that, but I didn't watch the two fights, or I watched the Mayweather Logan fight on a stream. I didn't pay for the pay-per-view. And if you did, I feel sorry for you. But Dane, did you watch Ocho Cinco? I only caught like clips from social media.
Oh, I watched it. I watched it from the first round to the fourth round.
Okay, so I heard good things as far as him lasting. It was four rounds, right?
Yeah, four rounds. 4 2-minute rounds.
Okay, so I heard good things about him like lasting through the entire fight, but you know, he did awesome. Get knocked down. So if you were like you're not an avid boxer fan like that, you're like the casual, like if it's on, it's on, right?
Right.
What did you think about your face is funny as hell. What did you think about Ocho Cinco's boxing performance?
I'm gonna tell you the same thing I told your brother when he was telling me that Ocho was about to knock homie out. I'm like, Ocho is a former professional football player. This just goes back to the conversation we had a few podcasts ago. Just because you're fast doesn't mean you can compete with Olympic athletes. It's the same thing with boxing. That is a different kind of athleticism than football.
Earl Spence tweeted something just like that, too.
Oh, shout out DFW Zone.
Yeah.
It's a different ball game, literally. Now, he might get, you know, commended because he held his own and he didn't get his ass knocked out. He got knocked down a few times, but he didn't get knocked out. So there's respect. There's a respect factor in that. People, you know, oh, you got heart. You know, I'm proud of you type of deal.
No, I saw so many shout outs for him, man.
Nah, bro. That's the equivalent. And I know this from personal experience. That's the equivalent of if you're in last place, you're in a race and everybody starts standing up and clapping for you. You're like, come on.
Yeah.
That's all right, baby. You can do it. That's the equivalent of that. Okay.
Yeah.
So shout out to 43-year-old Chad for going in the ring, almost getting knocked out in front of his fiance and his best friend. But at the same time, it's like that's a grown man sport, and you can't rely on 10 other guys to help you help you move the ball downfield like you on your own. And he held his own, but at the same time, you're going against an actual boxer / fighter.
Right.
So, you know, it didn't go as bad as I thought it was going to go. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be laid out on the mat just like Nate was. You seen the fall that he took though, right? Like
I did.
The last round, like with 20 seconds left. Like he didn't even catch his body with his hands. Like he just
What's funny, I saw that gif of from Old Boy from the Wire when he's like, oh, but the caption said when Nate Robinson saw Ocho Cinco get back up.
For those who don't know, the scene he's talking about from The Wire, a particular character realizes he made a grave mistake after they got in a shootout and almost executed an undercover cop. So he's in front of his boss, and he's like, yo.
Yeah.
And the camera is probably one of the best camera panels ever. He's like turning around like this, and the camera's like spinning around him. It was that scene itself, the way they filmed it, was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
But that, of course, goes down for other famous reasons because of the motion captured in that particular person.
I see that GIF almost every day on social media.
I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, but,
then you had Ocho Cinco survived those four rounds. And then you have Floyd Mayweather going against Logan Paul. And Logan Paul
I did not watch that one. So you're going to have to fill me in on that
one. So Logan Paul is not Jake Paul who knocked out Nate Robinson, correct?
Yeah.
I think I got that right.
They're brothers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's his brother. So this is not the guy that knocked out Nate Robinson. This is his brother they had the records up there. And I was like, what? They had Floyd Mayweather's record 50-0. Then Logan Paul 0-1. But I only watched it for Twitter purposes to see what people would say about, you know, certain things. And I hope y'all listeners, I hope y'all did not buy this fight for $69.99, $59.99, whatever it costs, because maybe, and if you did, you gotta be rich, bro, because when this fight was announced, I don't think we talked about it on the podcast, but in my mind, I was just like,
I didn't take it serious. I was like, there's no way.
Nobody should have, you know what I'm saying, thought that this was going to be anywhere near top tier caliber. People just like seeing Floyd, obviously, and it's become this new craze where YouTubers are in the ring now. And I think you're going to see, I mean, it's drawing what it's supposed to.
It's out doing an exactly audience, what money, Showtime exactly. Showtime got the bag.
Exactly. So the more people watch this, the more it's going to be more, you know what I'm saying, YouTubers and celebrities, former players and athletes jumping into the ring.
It's almost like Celebrity Deathmatch from MTV from back in the day. They had like little clay models of your favorite celebrities beating each other up in a ring. Of course, it's not the same thing, but essentially it's the same thing.
Yeah. So basically, man, you just saw 8 rounds of Floyd, you know, playing like or boxing like Floyd does, jab, jab, you know, duck, jab, jab. And then you got Logan Paul, you know, swinging here, swinging there. It was what you thought it would be, like your typical celebrity boxing match. Nobody gets knocked out. Nobody, you know, getting bleeding or anything like that. But it brought in what it was supposed to. Viewers, money, and us talking about it on this podcast.
Yep.
And airtime. Every podcast, everywhere. Yeah.
Airtime is money. Give me some money.
And I think it was saying something like I saw a thing that said, Floyd had made like $30 million before the fight, like in the hype of the fight and all that. He made $30 million. That dude's smart as hell.
Yeah, he's
or somebody he's, in his corner is smart.
His marketing team, the money team, like they no losses. That's none. Record and the money. Because I think in the top five most expensive fights, I think he's like 3 of those top 5 selections, if I'm not mistaken. Because he was there for the Pacquiao fight. The, what's his face? I'm forgetting this dude's name. Conor McGregor.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Ocho said he wanted to fight Conor next.
Come on, bro. Yeah, I'm not. Come on. Come on. Ocho, sit down. I know there's probably clowning this dude on the I Am Athlete podcast. Like, I can't wait for that episode to drop.
Yeah. Did you see the picture of all of them together after the fight?
No, I didn't. I know
T.O. and all the cast of, you know, I Am Athlete Pod and Chad all together after this fight.
I know Channing talking big noise to him. I know Channing is.
What's so cool, like they did go to support him. I find that pretty cool that they went and supported him as much as they probably gonna rip him on the next episode. But
oh yeah, they about to clown that dude.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be fun. I'm gonna be there for every second of it laughing.
For sure. And we're gonna close out this sports segment. I put this at the very bottom of the sports segment because I am still trying to process this. I have my Mavericks
accepted, man. Move on, bro.
Jersey in the background. My Mavs fell last night to the Clippers.
Bro, they
in
didn't
game
die,
7.
Man. They just lost a series of basketball.
I know, bro, but I'm upset.
Okay,
I'm
bad,
upset
man.
About it.
Do your thing.
Going up 2-0 at the beginning of the series. It's funny because I knew even up being up 2-0, I was not confident. I was hopeful, but at the same time, not confident because, I mean, it's a 7-game series. You got a young squad, but I do know that KP is not the answer for the Dallas Mavericks. Just a 2 option. That man is a waste of 7-3 space, dude. Man, wow. I don't know if you got to see him play this series, but he. On the defensive end, he's a liability. He's not a center. He should be playing the 4. But on the offensive end, man, he was making shots. Like it was a fast break, 2-on-1 fast break. I think it was him and Tim Hardaway. And he pulls up for a 3 like we playing in the rec on 2K. And I'm like, bro, go to the hoop. You 7'3", man.
Scared of the contact.
That, scared among other things. You know, shout out to the Clippers. Fighting through adversity, man. I hate the Clippers so much, dude.
Oh man.
But how would you feel? You know, I think we talked about it a few episodes ago, like the Lakers kind of struggling. You cool. You got the Lakers hat, you rocking the Lakers hat.
Well,
you big chilling.
I'll tell you about my reserve nature. I'm sitting here with my Lakers hat on after we got embarrassed on national television 2 games in a row. So I'm used to this losing the first round of the playoffs, you know. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. So we've been doing this for some time. I'm seasoned, okay? This is nothing to me, okay? This is a normal this is a normal weekend for me, losing like that in the first round of the playoffs. I'm okay with that. I'm also okay with, I'm a realist. that matchup was going to be tough going into it. You know, being living in the city of Dallas, it's really hard to tell if the teams that you root for, the teams that you hear a lot about, are they actually good, or is it just because the local media is gassing them up and in turn poisoning the entire fan base into thinking the team is a lot better than what they are. So with that being said, anytime you hear a lot of positivity about just how good, you know, the Mavericks are going to be or how good they're going to be, there's always somebody like me that'll bring you right back down to earth. This whole Kristaps Porzingis thing, it seemed like a good idea. It seemed like a steal when the trade took place. But at the same time, coming to the realization that that guy is not he's not an authentic big. That's the banging in the box. That's not his game. He's frail. Two, he is scared to get hurt again. You can visibly see the guy is scared to get hurt
still
again.
Still kind of
so.
And timid.
Timid. I can't tell you what's going on in the dude's head, but at the same time, this is what I told my coworker, my homegirl at work, Rashana. I said, one thing's going to happen with Luka. If y'all don't get him a solid number two or get him some sort of help, he is going to burn out and he is going to leave. He is not going to stay there taking L's over and over and over and over and over again. You guys are going to have to build something around him. It's just a solid number two. Solid number two that's going to play at least 75% of the games and contribute in some way, shape, or fashion on both sides of the court. So Luka came. Yeah. He's an amazing talent.
As much as Dallas fans want him to be the next Dirk, that's where him and Dirk, I feel like, are going to differ. You know, Dirk was so loyal to Dallas and stayed throughout his entire career, eventually getting that championship in 2011.
Dirk didn't owe Dallas nothing.
Exactly.
He didn't owe him nothing.
A lot of the time, yeah. And he was so loyal to Dallas. He loved the city. And like this generation, you already see it with all these other players, you know, going to chase rings and going to, you know, get a ring.
The legacy is on the line, man.
Right. And so I feel like Luka is one of those guys that, He's so competitive, and you see it on the floor, and he's a baller, first off. Man, that
very emotional, very competitive.
Oh my God, dude. Some of the shots he were making was like insane. Like, I've never seen anything like he makes it look so
effortless.
Effortless. And he has the ability to like slow down his body. Like, it looks like he's going like slow motion.
Amazing.
It's incredible, man. And yeah, if I agree with you on that, man, if we don't get some kind of legit scoring option for him, because after end of next season, he's eligible for a max extension. So I think they had already asked him about that today. They asked him something. A reporter asked him about, will you be looking to sign a long-term, you know, Supermax deal? And he's like, I think you know the answer to that question. Boy said, yeah, cha-ching, cashing out. Cashing out.
Are you going to see
Yeah, man, you know, another first-round exit for the Mavs.
And the Lakers.
Lakers.
We'll be back. I can't speak for the Mavs, but we'll be back.
I don't know, man. That's why I can't. It's so crazy. I'm a Mavs and a Broncos fan, and like, I couldn't watch it. Like, I watched it, but like compared to my Broncos fandom, like it's crazy. Like, because I can watch the Broncos from opening kickoff to the zeros on the clock, whether we getting our ass beat or not. But with the Mavs, I couldn't. I don't know what it is, man. It was just excruciating to see them like falter over the, I guess, cause it was over like a 7-game series, and I could see it from here all the way down.
Oh yeah, that shot of dopamine was taking you to them clouds when y'all was up.
Oh yeah,
I was like, all right, y'all.
But like I said,
a basketball team at the end of the day.
Like Charles Barkley said, I still, in the back of my mind, I felt like.
Let me tell you something. I love Chuck, man. He's national treasure.
But now. What's that sound? The nerdy news segment of the duo.
Sports Loki. Is the podcast.
Loki. It's Loki week.
I missed you.
It's Loki week.
Oh, I thought you said is Loki week. I was like, hell no, you ain't weak.
It's Loki week.
That's the god of mischief you're talking about there. Put some
Marvel Studios' third Disney Plus show,
Marvel.
Loki, premieres this Wednesday. Man, and I don't know if you saw some of the reviews for it, Dane, like the little tweets of, you know, some of the press can get or get the they can see like the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. So I read a little tweets here and there about, yeah, you know, they can't go into full detail about spoilers and all that, but it kind of gives like a context of what they thought of the first two episodes. I'll read a few of them from, you know, Brandon Davis from comicbook.com, that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I unfollowed him from some years ago because he was spoiling too much. Yeah, he's spoiling shit. So I don't know. Yep, you going on a block list, buddy. But yeah, I know these of him.
These are spoiler-free tweets. Spoiler-free.
That'd be.
So his tweet said, Loki has hands down my favorite first TV episode for Marvel Studios yet. Tom Hiddleston is just too good in the role, picking up 2012's Loki instantly. He's brilliant. Early exposition comes with awesome details for MCU fans. I really like the start. Lots of potential here. Then he says, Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson are glorious together. Hiddleston brings every bit of cunning charm back to Loki. Wilson is surprisingly delightful in the MCU. That classic soft confidence makes his Mobius a blast to watch. These two are just great. And then one more, he says, Loki brings so much to MCU lore. There are references to the past films and stories to Marvel at, but also really exciting, subtle additions to the sandbox as a whole. Through two episodes, this series could be a really exciting big step for the MCU's broad, sprawling stories. After we saw WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, in my head, I feel like Loki, when it was first announced about Loki, I feel like everybody was like, huh, about it, because what can you do with Loki that we haven't seen already?
This is the one I was looking forward to the most.
But now this is what I think. Even before I read those tweets today and stuff, I was thinking, like, from based off the trailers that we saw so far, mm-hmm. I feel like Loki would be a mix of what we saw with WandaVision as far as the craziness, the out of there type stuff. And then like the action that we saw in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it's like a blend of sci-fi and like action together. And I think Loki for sure will be a show that, you know, might end up, well, from these tweets, it seems like it'll be one that we'll remember for a long time. But you said you were already excited for it, right?
Yeah. First off, Tom Hiddleston is a dog, bro. Like he was probably one of my favorite villains in the MCU just because of how his arrogance just bled through every scene that he was involved in. Mm-hmm. On top of my dog has hands, okay? He has hands. So it's not going to be one of them things.
Low-key hands.
low-key hands. Remember one of those shows where it's going to be him, you know, behind the scenes and orchestrating and getting by with magic. It's going to be a combination of both. You got Asgardian magic in the palm of his hands, and of course he can throw it down with the best of them unless your name is Thanos. But that's a different story. But I think looking back, this one had the most, it was the most mysterious. Like, we didn't know much about what it was going to be exploring. And even when it was first announced, was it last year, the year before that? I can't remember. I was like, what could they possibly be talking about? And then when you see how Endgame transpired of, you know, spoiler alert, mm-hmm. Now the multiverse gets to be explored. So I've been excited for so long. And then our household, we're a low-key stan household, so we're expecting some really good things. So
yeah,
I said a whole bunch of nothing, but except, you know, one thing you take away from this conversation of what I'm saying, blabbering about, is Loki is going to be pretty amazing in my estimation.
Marvel's never
let me down.
I agree. I think it definitely has the potential to be better than the last two shows we saw, and I say that because it was not affected by the pandemic as far as we know. As like the first two shows, WandaVision, there were a lot of reshoots, a lot of pauses, a lot of stuff that had to be changed, as well as in the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So I feel like this would be the first like Marvel Studios project where we see like the complete vision that they wanted from start to finish, not affected by everything that went on in the real world. So I think that really makes it have the potential to be one of the best shows that we've seen so far. Obviously, with Loki, man, like I agree with you on that. He's always been like one of the most interesting villains that we've seen thus far. Tom Hiddleston does great in the role. And from what we've seen or read about Owen Wilson, he's killing the role as well. And I'm definitely excited to see. I'm definitely excited to see. Excited to see, because you know, obviously, you know, it's going to be multiverse up in this thing. And
yeah, absolutely.
I'm so excited. And I hope we get to see like different versions of the characters we already know, whether it's Thor, whether it's like other Avengers. Like, that's one thing I hope they don't have to give us the whole thing. But like, give us like
a smidget, little sprinkle.
Something
to get your tongue with.
Like, Evil Cap or something crazy. Like, what if this would have went we got the What if series coming out later in the summer, but just different. Yeah, it's August, I believe.
Oh.
But definitely excited to see what they do with the multiverse, with other versions of characters, as well as how will this end? Like, how does this show end, leading into whatever the MCU has next on the slate? I mean, it probably won't match up with Black Widow because it's... I don't know. I don't think it'll go that route. I don't know. I feel like Black Widow's very grounded. I feel like Black Widow's more of a tie-in with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I think Loki will kind of dive into what we see with Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, maybe Spider-Man, No Way Home, everything that's going to deal with the multiverse. But definitely excited. Episode 1 is this week, Wednesday. And of course, next week, Dane and I will be back to talk about the first episodes and what we expect so far with the show, man. And we have a report from the Illuminati on Twitter. It says exclusive: Tanakh Huerta playing none other than Namor in Black Panther 2. And there's some other intriguing Atlantean supporting cast revealed. And he is from Narcos, Mexico. Have you watched Narcos? You watched Narcos, right?
I watched the first two seasons when they were chasing Pablo. No, I mean, maybe it was three seasons when they were chasing Pablo Escobar. After that, I was like, okay, this is the same thing, just a different place. So I was like, I'm good. I'll come back to it later on when I'm bored or something.
So he stars in Narcos, Mexico. But, man, looks like we got Namor coming to Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever. Well, it's just called Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Wakanda
Forever? Yeah, what you think, bro?
I know nothing about this guy other than his role in Narcos. I did some Googling. I went on TikTok because some of the creatives that I follow on there, they love talking about Marvel and comic books and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And apparently this isn't the first time this has surfaced. This was reported by some outlets all the way back in November. So maybe it's some insider has more of a scoop and they were able to say, we can confirm this because of blah, 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 blah. I got a homeboy in HR that did the paperwork for the blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I don't know. So
it's always funny with those sources and who comes out with it first and reconfirms it and all that good stuff. But
I wonder how the first one goes, like how the first source of something happens, like the exchange, like you just, I don't know, you're at Target somewhere and you randomly, you're behind an agent of a star athlete and they're talking on the phone about a contract deal that's going to get done. You're like, hey, are you so-and-so from so-and-so? Yeah, well, I actually work for ABC, and I just want to know if I can get your thoughts on what you just said about so-and-so. I think, I wonder how that whole thing takes place, like how they get the inside scoop. He's like, yeah, you can report it, just, you know, keep my name out of it type of deal. So
yeah,
I always wonder about that. And I still want to know what that dad said.
Sources.
Ian?
Oh, I thought that was Adam Schefter.
Yeah, him too. They all look alike. No, I'm playing.
First thing I thought of with this Namor thing, man, was back in Avengers Endgame. Do you remember the scene?
Yeah, at the beginning, probably like after they failed. Well, they realized that they failed.
When they try to go back. Yeah.
Was it a weekly or monthly report to Natasha?
Black Widow, yeah. So if you guys don't remember that scene, our nerds out there, This is after they failed to get the stones back because Thanos already destroyed them. There's a meeting. Black Widow's basically leading the meeting between Captain Marvel.
Time skip.
Five-year jump. Black Widow, Captain Marvel, Rocket Raccoon, Okoye, and Nebula. And basically, Okoye says, it's an earthquake under the ocean. We handle it by not handling it. And that was like the first little subtle tease to Namor, who's an underwater.
Some underwater creatures. Yeah. Race or civilization.
Yeah, man. So it's Marvel's always throwing out the little breadcrumbs, man. It has you. We tasted it in the game and they have you want more. And this is just, you know, another addition to that. And Black Panther is starting to shoot this year, I believe. And it's coming out next year, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
July of 2022. Black Panther Wakanda Forever. So I know that's definitely going to be fire.
All right, Chadwick, man.
Yes, most definitely. Cannot forget Chadwick Boseman, man. RIP. And then our last story, Dane, comes from sportsgamersonline.com. It says ESPN working on video games return. And this headline kind of is like a tricky headline, because when I first read it, I thought it was like, oh, ESPN's coming out with a video game. But then I read it and it says, for the last decade, ESPN involvement in video games has been pretty limited. In the early 2010s, the worldwide leader in sports was the broadcast partner for the EA Sports NCAA football series until it ended in 2013. Aside from that, the only place you saw ESPN branding was in NBA Live. Then ESPN EA Sports signed a 15-year agreement in 2005 that recently came to an end with no official extension. So, according to sources within the Bristol-based network, ESPN has begun the process of opening negotiations with EA to bring full broadcast into more EA Sports video games. With ESPN now the home of UFC and NHL coverage, the company wants its branding out in as many properties as possible. So it's basically talking about how it can be included in Madden, NBA Live, whenever that series comes back, FIFA, those kind of things. I always felt like, you know, we both skipped on Madden this year, but one of my gripes with Madden was the fact that it had no type of realistic, like, broadcast. Like, I always felt like what would take the game to the next level if you incorporated stuff that we see when we watch a real NFL game, which
next part of that stats. Is,
yeah, next-gen stats, or, like, even the real-life, like, ESPN scoreboard, like make it seem more like a realistic game to me. I don't know if that's really what you look for, like one of the things that you enjoy, like when you heard this news, like, yeah, does this news of ESPN possibly coming into like sports video games affect how you feel about Madden?
Nope. I believe when I see it. You gotta show me, my boy. You gotta show me. Is my coin, my $60 to $80, is it worth me buying it? You got to show me, Playboy. Pause. You got to show me. You got to show me, because
Dane is still in doubt. And Dane, I am with you, and I'm here to give you something that I did today. And I don't know how you're going to take this news. I registered for the Madden 22 beta
to test it out.
Yeah.
Oh, well, do your thing, man.
For research purposes, for the podcast.
Let the record state today, June the 7th at 8:46 p.m. For you all, of course, it'll be June the 8th or whatever time you decide to listen to this podcast, or even if you decide to. For Mr. Epps, it's going to be sometime in the beginning of August by the time you hear this, Mr. Yep. Epps. You are going to be fairly disappointed. I don't know why you're going down this road again, but
it's free. Means, it's free. It's free beta.
Honestly, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's for
time.
Research purposes, for the pod. I gotta let everybody know how it, you know what I'm saying?
Go waste your time so we don't have to. Appreciate you.
Exactly. It's for the people, your
noble,
man.
Your noble sacrifice.
Your noble. Oh, what did Ebony Maw say in Infinity War? He said,
greetings.
You would.
you're prepared. Wait,
what did he say?
He said,
I just watched it too, not too long ago. It's like, even in death, you are a child of Thanos, or something about a noble sacrifice.
You are about to die at the hands of the children of Thanos. Yeah. May your meaningless lives be worthy of our sacrifice, something like that. See, Ebony Maw had the bars.
He really did.
That boy
did.
Said, your powers are inconsequential compared to mine.
He told Dr. Strange.
Dead man spell. Yeah. Very difficult.
Then I'll take it off your corpse. Like, bro, he reminded me of, you ever watched Tales from the Crypt when you were little?
Yeah.
Bro, that show scared the hell out of me. My brothers used to scare me with that show. But he looked like, the Tales from the Crypt dude.
Yeah, a little skeleton.
Crypt Keeper guy.
Yeah, Ebony Maw definitely drinks his drinks with his pinky out.
As Dane drinks from his pinky, with his pinky out.
But Ebony Maw, I hate that he got body so...
Yeah, he was out of their court.
But he had the bars, though. He had the bars.
Yeah, most definitely.
I might want to have to go back and watch that. He had the quote.
Most definitely.
Earth is closed today, Squidward.
Get lost, Squidward. Oh, man.
Stonekeeper, does this babbling mammal speak for you? I speak for myself, and on the grounds of whatever the hell he said, you're trespassing. Get the stone.
I want to watch that again now because of you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Episode 48 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast, man. We love doing this for you guys. We love doing it for ourselves, our friends and family, people that support us, man. We enjoy this thing. 48 episodes into it, man. Couldn't even imagine getting this far. And Dane and I just going to keep on keeping on, man.
Bask in the ambiance. Episode 48, also synonymous with Super Bowl 48, where the Broncos lost to the Seahawks
48-8.
And Malcolm Smith was the MVP. Man, that boy Demaryius Thomas got smacked on that third down.
We know that, Dane.
And the Cam was like, ah! Or was that Bobby Wagner? I can't remember.
I think it was Cam Chancellor. Cam Chancellor.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, if you enjoy what you hear, give us a 5-star rating on Apple and a review so this can get to more ears and they can enjoy what they hear with the duo. Also, if you go to our website, www.theduosportsandstuffpodcast.com, if you click on blog, you'll see the Epps Right Thoughts, where I'm going to start writing a little bit of things on the website. First thing I'm going to write about is my top 10 sports video games. So be on the lookout for that in the next few weeks. It's going to be pretty cool. I'm excited about it.
Bet.
And Dane has his keyboard out.
That's what the answer right there. He's going to be doing this for y'all.
I'm going to be at the keyboard. Yeah, man, check that out.
We're gonna be reading up on that. Can't wait.
Yeah, Dane's gonna critique it. I want everybody else to critique it too. I want to see your list when I put it out. It's gonna be great. Man.
My list, top 10. You said top 10 video games or sports video games?
Sports, top 10 sports video games. That's gonna be my first article.
Sports.
I'm still compiling my list right now, but what do you mean? You're talking about wrestling's a sport? You're talking about wrestling games too?
Okay, cool. Yeah. Fighting. So then fighting games too then?
No. Like boxing. Boxing is a sport. Fighting.
What about brawling?
Are you talking about Super Smash Bros? That's not a sport. Are you talking about Def Jam, Fight for New York? That's not a sport.
Yeah.
It's not a sports game.
Don't you dare insult me. Anyways, I'm gonna leave before I say something really disrespectful to this man. I'm talking to my producers. I'm sick and tired of this man, the way he's treating me.
All right. Dane's leaving. I'm leaving. We're the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast. Thank you for listening to episode 48.
Because I quit. Matter of fact, you changed the name of the group.
Hit my outro music.